Hour number two here on Sportsline on a Tuesday night, high atop Television Hill. Welcome back to the program, and thank you so much for being with us. CBS college basketball analyst Seth Davis will join us momentarily here. Coming up also in an hour, Jeff Barker, Maryland beat writer for the Baltimore Sun, will be on the program with us talking about that lawsuit, that countersuit Maryland's laying down, plus Maryland and Notre Dame tomorrow night as the Terps continue to struggle here this season. But right now we are joined by really one of the great college basketball analysts out there today, Seth Davis from CBS, and a new book out called Wooden, A Coach's Life. Seth, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, let's start with the book, and let's start with, you know, there have been a lot of biographies and documentaries over time about John Wooden, obviously. What makes this one special or different, and what perspective of this book makes it different?
Well, I'm getting asked that question a lot today, and it's a great place to start. And the answer is that this book has a different mission. I mean, certainly there have been a lot of books about John Wooden over the years, but almost all of them were either by John Wooden or co-authored with John Wooden. This is the first book that is truly about John Wooden, and it is done from the perspective of a journalist and a historian. Those books all have great virtues. Believe me, I read them all in putting together this book project, as you might imagine. But I really felt like those books presented him as a two-dimensional character. Well, I wanted to write about that third dimension. You know, for guys like us, when we think about John Wooden, we think of a sweet old guy in his den reading poetry. Well, believe you me, I'm sure you understand this instinctively, you don't win 10 national championships by being sweet or by reading poetry. He was a tough, hard-nosed competitor. He could be merciless on referees, had a very bad reputation for that. He was very tough on his players. He was not necessarily emotionally available to them when they played for him. Later in life, he became more so. And, you know, he did not live, he was not, contrary to what we may think about him, he was not a saint. He was not a perfect man. He didn't live a perfect life. Which is not to say that this book is a takedown by any stretch. It is certainly not. I believe that John Wooden was the greatest coach in the history of American sports, not just college basketball, and I think he was a great man. And I really felt like it was time for somebody, from my perspective of a journalist and a historian, to write the full story of his very full life, and I believe that's what I've done.
You cover college basketball coaches now, Seth, from a journalist point of view, not necessarily the ex-player, former coach, former colleague kind of point of view. Is there someone you can compare Wooden to that's out there today that's been established?
Well, I mean, I think we would all agree that the modern example of someone who's closest to Wooden is Mike Krzyzewski at Duke, but I think we'd also agree that he's not going to retire with 10 national championships. So it's just a different era. And certainly the things that I'm describing about John Wooden, because of the media age that we live in, we know those things now. I mean, it's not going to surprise anybody to read that Mike Krzyzewski could be a really tough, badass competitor. I think we see that, you know. When John Wooden was coaching, we didn't necessarily see that. We didn't necessarily know that, and we certainly would never know that by listening to him describe what he was like, because oftentimes we are not the best source for our own life stories. So, you know, it was a different time and a different era, and every era has its own leaders and its own, you know, standards. And certainly John Wooden, I think we would all agree, set the standard in college basketball that as far as championships are concerned, will never be met.
Seth Davis is with us. His new book is called Wooden, A Coach's Life. Going back to the idea of a competitor, but really specifically cursing. I mean, if you've ever been to a college basketball game, you got close to Gary Williams around these parts or Jimmy Patsos here at Loyola, you would get a variety of colorful words. Wooden had that, you know, the old Jesus sakes alive or whatever he said, which I'm sure you're documented right. Well in the book. But, you know, the story goes there weren't F-bombs or S-bombs from John Wooden. Are you saying that really isn't accurate?
That part, actually, you know what? I talked to upwards of 200 people, and I could have sworn going into this that one of them would tell me a story of John Wooden dropping a piece of profanity. Now, there was somebody who told me a story off the record where he used a profanity, but it was more in jest. But I never, you know, that was one thing. You know, he always told the story about getting into a fight with his brother, and his brother flipped some manure in his face, and Wooden cursed at him and jumped on him, and his dad lashed him with a belt, with a switch, and told him, you know, no profanity. And, you know, no one ever told me that they heard John Wooden curse. But You know, his players will tell you, when he gave you that gracious sakes alive, that was as bad as anything you heard on the street. I mean, that was, he could cuss you without cussing you. And believe me, he, you know, as Gail Goodrich said, you know, you've never really been ripped until you've been ripped by John Wooden. One of my favorite anecdotes in the book was part of the excerpt that was published in Sports Illustrated this week. It was during Kareem's senior year, and there was a player on the team named Bill Sweek. The team was at the Final Four, at what they called the semifinals back then. They're playing Drake, and Wooden was benching the senior, and the senior was getting mad, and Wooden finally put the kid into the game, and the kid kind of sauntered by him real slowly to let him know that he was pissed, and Wooden sent him back to the bench. With about 4 minutes to go, this player walks straight off the court and into the locker room. He quit the team right there. And then after the game, John Wooden stormed off the court to find him and was the first to reach the locker room. The kid was in the shower, and Wooden's assistants literally had to restrain him from tackling this kid in the shower. That's how mad Wooden was. And the next morning, Wooden, you know, forgave the kid and left him on the team and had him play in the championship game, and they ended up being good friends. But that's not, you know, the image of John Wooden at the Final Four on his way to winning his another national championship, three in a row with Kareem, having to be restrained by his assistants from tackling one of his own players in the shower is not exactly the image of John Wooden that we've been fed, spoon-fed the last 30 years.
That is true. And Seth, to that end, I have a very cynical point of view when it comes to collegiate athletics in America right now at the Division I level, especially for the for-profit sports. And this audience knows that well, especially collegiate football, where I just think it's gotten out of hand, hard to pick up a paper or go a day without hearing of some major scandal in college football. Maybe this stuff has been going on for a long time, but there wasn't the media to cover it and point it out. Maybe there were Bobby Petrino's and Jim Tressel's and Joe Paterno's way before what we know of today with the media all over it. To that end, I would like to think in my heart of hearts that what we know of John Wooden, there was something very real and tangible about all those great qualities. Or is he just one of the same and was very, very fallible and had a lot of holes?
Well, we're all fallible, you know. I mean, it's a very complicated question and a very good question. And that's why I think to answer it, you know, you need to really spend 4 years and write, you know, 500 pages about somebody like this, because everything has to be put, it's not enough just to be accurate. You have to, everything has to be in context. You know, and you know, for example, you know, a lot of people are very curious about a man named Sam Gilbert, who was a UCLA booster, a former student, dropout, who became wealthy and became connected with Wooden's players, beginning with Lou Alcindor and Lucius Allen, and lavishing on them many gifts and favors that were in direct violation of NCAA rules. It wasn't a straight cash deal. I didn't have anybody tell me that he just forked over the cash, but you know, they could go to restaurants and not have to pay. They could go to clothing stores and get discounts or not have to buy their clothes, and he could get them discounts on rent and discounts on cars and tires and the like. And he had them over to his house every weekend and gave them food and let them hang out and eventually represented them in their NBA contracts. I mean, it's not like this was an open secret. It wasn't even a secret. Sam Gilbert was an extremely public man. But it wasn't until after John Wooden retired that the NCAA finally went in and blew the lid off this thing, and they ended up vacating the 1980 championship game appearance under Larry Brown and put the program on probation and ordered them to disassociate from Sam Gilbert. But the NCAA, you know, turned a blind eye to this while it was going on when Wooden was there, because that was their prime program. So that is definitely a mixed part of the John Wooden legacy. But, you know, again, that story is presented in all of its glory, and it's presented in the right context. And at the end of the day, you know, it's a very mixed episode. And I really kind of at the end leave it up to the reader to decide how he or she feels about it.
Final question, Seth. Purely from a basketball standpoint, how ahead of his time was John Wooden? I feel you look back and you read the histories of college basketball or basketball in general, Dean Smith gets a lot of credit for the four corners or inventing this or inventing that. Purely from a basketball point of view, how much of a great coach or a genius coach was Wooden?
Well, it's a great question, because a lot of people don't really understand this. You know, it goes back to John Wooden's playing days at Purdue. He played for a guy named Piggy Lambert, who was considered the father of the fast break. In fact, Lambert was the only guy who called it the fast break. People called it racehorse basketball or fire wagon basketball is how it was more frequently described. Now, remember, this is early 1930s college basketball. Obviously, no blacks on the court anywhere. And at the end of every made basket, the teams came back to the center circle to have a jump ball. You know, James Naismith thought of this like football, where you score a touchdown and then you go back and you have the kickoff. And it wasn't until the late 1930s, towards the end of Wooden's playing days as a professional, such as they were, that they got rid of the center jump against James Naismith's wishes. So John Wooden came out of that fast break mentality, and then you fast forward to 1948, he goes to UCLA, where everybody's trying to do what Hank Iba is doing, which is slow it down, grind it out. There's no shot clock. You could have scores that were 12-10, and that's also what Dean Smith was known for. So John Wooden put in a up-tempo, fast-break basketball, and it was not until his 16th year, think about that now, it took him 16 years to win his first title. In fact, it took him 14 years to win his first game in the NCAA tournament. You think Steve Alford would make it 14 years as a coach at UCLA without winning a game?
Great point.
But his first team at UCLA, there was not a single starter above 6'5". But because they played up-tempo basketball and they had innovative zone press, they were able to run teams and get them to play their style, and they eventually went 30-0 and won the title. So he was Rick Pitino well before somebody like Rick Pitino came along in terms of playing a fast tempo and getting the other team to play your way.
The book seems absolutely outstanding, Seth. It's called Wooden, A Coach's Life by CBS analyst and Sports Illustrated reporter Seth Davis. Seth, thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck with the book, and I hope to catch up again soon.
Thanks for having me on.
That is Seth Davis. Wonderful book, it sounds like. We'll come back with more next.